Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, our Lord, Savior, Mashiach, Yahushua. Love picking fruit. Keep growing. Tonight we're going to, Sharon's going to be on Yahweh uplifting the small. And so we're looking at history and go through the book of the Old Covenant. But we're going to look at kingdoms that rose up because of individuals. And we know that with Egypt, and that was Yosef. You know, so here's a person who was in jail. We know that David was a shepherd and ended up killing Goliath and kingdom of David. The Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, that was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know Persia, we're going to see Esther and Mordecai and Nehemiah. In Rome, we're going to see Constantine. And, you know, we're going to, and then we see the British Empire, which is a very godly institution in relationship to the rest of the world. And then now the United States also is a very godly institution in relationship to the world. But before we begin, I'm just going to read a little thing about Constantine. So Constantine was a Roman emperor. And before that, Nero and Diocletian, you know, Christianity was outlawed, and they'd actually murder Christians. You know, unless you went ahead and sacrificed to their gods, you'd be thrown into the pits.
Not with Diocletian.
With gladiators.
Diocletian.
And Constantine was raised under Diocletian.
Diocletian's general, I think.
Yeah, he was emperor. Yeah. He was emperor. But Constantine ended up creating Constantinople, it's Byzantium. And so read a little bit on this. You can Google Constantine. Constantine, all I is known as Constantine the Great, was the first, or Constantine the First, was the first Roman emperor to convert to Christianity and play a key role in the Christianity of a Roman Empire. Now, if you look at the size of the Roman Empire, it just dwarfs anything else that we even have today, except for maybe the British Empire. The Edict of Milan in 313, Constantine signed the Edict of Milan, which made Christianity legal and allowed Roman citizens to practice religious freedom. How big is this? The Roman Empire has been going 700 B.C., yeah. Quite really more like 300 B.C., anti-polytheism, everything else. Financial support. Constantine provided financial support for the construction of churches and new copies of the Bible. Constantine called a council of theologians to address doctrinal issues. That's Nicene Creed. That's 325. And also Constantinople Creed of 380.
Wow.
Constantine's new city of Constantinople became a center of Eastern Christianity. Constantine was baptized 337 CE, just before his death. And they really did that. And so a lot of times they thought if you sinned after you baptized, you might go to hell. So you just wait right before you die and then sin, and I'm going to heaven. Constantine's actions changed the relationship between the church and the government, which eventually led to Christianity becoming the official religion of the Roman Empire. Now think of that, and that big inspiration was his mother, Helen, mm-hmm. who was a Christian. Yes, you know, here's another thing you can find out. Yes, Emperor Constantine's conversion to Christianity in 323 led to the criminalization of sodomy, homosexuality. So sodomy is legal in the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, all from Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you're looking at, men with sodomy, and which is obviously pedophiles, goes along with it. Constantine's son, Constans and Constansus, decreed that the law must be armed with an avenging sword to rid the land of passive homosexuality. This is the first time the death penalty was enacted for sodomy. That's because of one individual that had so much power that things were transformed because of the individual, but somebody interjected in his life or he would never known about Christianity. And that's his mother and other people. But you interjected, and we're going to start seeing other people throughout the Word. Now, that same thing happened. We know that Joseph, which his name was really Yosef, was in a prison. And he became the Savior of the world, really the Redeemer of the world from starvation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, But we're going to be going through the history of Israel from the fall of the 10 tribes to the restoring of the Jerusalem. But it shows you how people are instrumental, and we're going through a tough time right now in the United States of just ungodliness. Sodomy has been legalized, not by the voters, but it's been legalized by the Supreme Court, which can't do laws in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's against the law, but they went and said it's legal, which they can't make law. They're supposed to adjudicate laws. And so it's never in any law book. In the state of Kansas, it's still illegal.
That's one thing I remember from my cat.
Well, yeah, just keep going. But we're going to go to Israel's captivity, the 10 tribes. When I say Israel, you have Judah, which is two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and then the 10 tribes. And they broke off after Solomon died. So let's go to the predicament of what happened in 2 Kings 17. Yeah, before we begin that, let's just go over this chart since I got your attention. Yeah, the line of the Persian kings. Because what we're going to see is, in this particular area, we're going to see a transformation from Israel, 10 tribes, are taken away by Assyria, the kingdom of Assyria, which is a wicked kingdom. Then Judah gets taken away originally by Egypt. And then Nebuchadnezzar defeats Egypt, and now they take away people because they rebelled. And then that's called the Chaldeans. And then Persia took over the Chaldeans, took over Nebuchadnezzar. And that's where we know of Cyrus. So one thing that rings through here, mostly everybody can connect with Cyrus. And all the other tiles are usually appellates. And so we're going to see here, I'll put this on our internet, on the movie. But you're going to see, you look at the far right, it's called the Cylinder of Cyprus. So we're going to use it. Cyrus. And so you're going to look at it. This is the first person. How do you pronounce that, Woody? With a T? Tepes. And then we have Cyrus the First, which is Cyrus's grandfather. And then you have Cambyses, which is what we're going to find out is the husband of Esther, Hadassah. And then you have Cyrus the Second, which is what we know as Cyrus. Then he has a son, Cambyses the Second, which dies. And then at the bottom, if you look right at the bottom, you're going to see Darius of Hystaspes. He's going to end up in the end of the story in Ezra 7. And he's the one that didn't know about the building of the rebuilding of the temple.
Is that our
Cyrus dies, and we're going to see that in these stories.
Okay.
So this is a good chart. Cambyses is Esther's husband.
Boaz.
What? No, it's Ruth.
Oh,
no. Is Esther's husband. His names are also his appellates in the books that we're going to read. He's never going to be called Cambyses in this book. Appellates are Pharaoh.
Titles?
Okay. Yeah, they're just titles. Pharaoh, king. You go into, we know Herod the Great, Herod this, Caesar this, Caesar this, and people just take a title. It's not the individual's name. But when you ever see Ahasuerus, that's Cambyses. Artaxerxes, that's Cambyses. And Darius the Mede, that's Cambyses. These are all the same person. So Cambyses plus Esther equals Cyrus. And that makes sense if you think about it. Why would a Persian institution, Cambyses or Cyrus, want to help Israel? Mm-hmm. Restore Israel.
Yeah.
They're not. They get forced from the Jew because of Esther. Esther gets in there with Mordecai, and all of a sudden things start changing all over the place. And then you're going to find out Daniel gets involved, and Hananiah, Meshach, and all of the rest of the guys are getting involved. And then you have Nehemiah involved, and then in which he is working under their leadership, which we're going to see, as a king and queen. And so you're seeing Yahweh moving all these individuals who are really servants. They're slaves, in essence, what it comes down to. So Daniel was taken captive and castrated with along the other person. But Yahweh let him shine and gave him the way to interpret dreams, just like Yosef. And so you're seeing what Father can do with such a small, small minority, where all of a sudden the kingdom completely, on this small institution, which is Israel, demolished, you know, by war and everything else, that Yahweh exalts back. It's the same way with Yosef, with Egypt. You know, we're going to see that with Constantine. Christians were thrown into the ring, and now it is the religion of Rome. Wow! Nobody saw this. And they say, if you look at Roman's documents, through Yahushua's time, the emperors, Jesus, or Yahushua, is never mentioned. There's no record of him as existence. And what we saw is this movement, which we know, was only 6 months or less. And so he was in the wilderness for 40 days, which is a month and a half. And so his ministry is really only 4.5 months before he was murdered. And so when it's a little blip on a situation. Here's a little people that, you know, some fanatic, and he's dead, and not even enough to record it. Well, one other thing too is the Persians did not keep records. So, you know, the problem is, you know, you're never going to necessarily find these in the Persian records, except for the cylinder.
They have the cylinder.
Yeah, the cylinder, you have that, but now the history. All you got is Herodotus, and I think he was, you know, way after, hundreds of years after.
The cliff that they carved.
Yeah, I mean, you got the cliff, and that's the inscription, right up here, inscription on the something rock in the cylinder, but it doesn't tell you the history book. It just says king. You're never going to learn about Esther. You're never going to learn about Mordecai. You're never going to learn about Nehemiah. So you're never going to learn about Daniel. You're never going to learn about any of these people and their records, because there's no records. And if you look at that, you know, they don't. Rome had great records, you know, Persia did not. Now, we go to the First Kings, or Second Kings. Second Kings, start our story.
Second Kings what?
17. And which I didn't write down here, it was actually, Judah is going to be restored in 70 years. So once they're taken away captive, you got 70 years. So sometimes when it looks like we've lost, you know, World War I, World War II, Poland, Polska, Germany, just devastated. We'll never recover. And now they got. So what Yahweh can do, just like we're going to see with Judah, Jerusalem, devastated. And then in 70 years, it's recovered. So what Yahweh can do is always be an optimist, because Yahweh's on our side if you're walking his walk. So we're going to look at 17, verse 7 and 8. Let's see here. Kind of a little, in this whole section is the review of the causes leading to Israel's downfall. And when you say Israel, that's the 10 tribes north. 17:7. And thus it came to pass that Israel sinned against Yahweh their Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We never see Pharaoh, that's like Artaxerxes. We don't know which Pharaoh was. So those are called appellates. Yea, they did reverence to other gods and walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh had possessed from before them, sons of Israel, and the statutes of the kings of the Israel which they had made. And the sons of Israel did secret things which were not right against Yahweh their God, and built for themselves high places. And this automatically goes all the way through this. If you go through verse 22 and 23, and the sons of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam. United States added two more gods. We got two more gods, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. These are the sins of Jeroboam, which had committed, they turned not away thereof, until that Yahweh removed Israel from his presence, or his face. A lot of times you see the word face, or presence, it's the word pay, P-H, which is the Hebrew word for face.
P-A-H?
P-E-H.
P-E-H.
Yeah, so but a lot of times they'll say presence. They'll put the word presence. Makes more sense to the readers, but it's the face. You removed from the face of Yahweh. According as he spake through all his servants the prophets, always got warnings, and so Israel was driven away from off their own soils to where? Assyria until this day. So we're going to remember Assyria was running Egypt, all the way down to Egypt, and all the way down to Persia. So they, if you look at their kingdom, their reign, it was huge. And so those people were put into probably Persia, you call it Babylon, Egypt, Hebrews were. And so this was done, what did I say, what year that was? Yeah, that's 611 B.C. So if you ever look at this other chart, we'll start looking at dates. And this is all according to Bollinger. 611 B.C., the 10 tribes are done. Judah doesn't, it doesn't happen until, let's say,
513.
Let me see. Jerusalem falls 477 B.C., Jerusalem falls. 134 years later. So we're looking at this. The 10 tribes are gone. Assyria's got Samaria now, right? And remember with Hezekiah, this happened during Hezekiah's reign. Assyria came and, to Hezekiah and said, give us your kingdom. And he wouldn't. And that's where the 180,000 were dead. That's the Assyrian kingdom. So they devastated them to go back. But that was their neighbor then, Hezekiah. And we see all the kings all the way down to Josiah. So now we go to, we're going to look at our, kind of our focal point, how to bring, we're going to bring in the book of Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, Daniel, Haggai, and Zechariah. So these are all these books about this period. So how do these all interwind and intertwine between us? And the Second Chronicles, obviously. But if you look at Cyrus, which is identified by name, and go backwards, you can see what happens. Oh, so we're going to look up, you do a word search on Cyrus, and we go to Isaiah 44. He's really almost the end of the story, because we haven't got into Nebuchadnezzar. But here's Cyrus. Let's go to, let's see here, 28. Who saith of Cyrus, my shepherd and all my pleasures shall he make good? This is very interesting. Cyrus, Isaiah is writing this around 600 B.C. Okay. Israel fell away at 611 B.C. So Cyrus isn't going to be around until like 400 B.C., 426 B.C.
200 years?
So 150 years before Cyrus is even born. So Isaiah, Yahweh automatically has a plan. I think of that with Donald Trump right now.
Yeah.
He rises up people like he did with Gideon, Deborah, Samson. And we got a whole history of people, David, being raised up for this occasion. And so this Isaiah is 150 years before Cyrus is even born. Let's go on 28. Who saith of Cyrus, my shepherd, this is great, and all my pleasures shall he make good, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built. And this is silly. He's also called a Mashiach, anointed one, just like Yahushua is going to rebuild the temple also, because the temple is destroyed. And so he is like a, what do you call it?
A type of Christ.
She shall be built, and of the temple be her foundations laid. And like John Shane and I said, everybody's looking at Isaiah, where is the temple? What do you mean he's going to build the temple? The temple's already here.
Oh yeah.
It hasn't been destroyed. I mean, what are you talking about?
Okay.
And 1:45:1, thus saith Yahweh to his
Mashiach, his
Messiah. That's the anointed.
Wow.
To Cyrus, whose right hand I have firmly grasped, to subdue him before nations, and the loins of kings will I have girded. And so 45 goes right through this. Now wait a minute, he's talking to a Persian person who's not a Hebrew, And we're going to see this.
It's not even here yet.
Yeah, not even here yet. How is this going to work? Because now we've got to get Hebrews into Persia 150 years, and we got to have, you know, a Persian marry a Hebrew who's going to teach their child about Yahweh, because they're Hebrew, and they get his uncle called Mordecai, who's going to instruct this child. And so Cyrus is going to call him as a Gentile. All the history books will say a Gentile, but he was a Hebrew. He's very circumcised because his mother was, Esther was his mother, Hadassah, and Mordecai is his uncle. So you can interject on these things, but that's the first, mention of Cyrus. Now we go to Daniel 1. If I get too winded, we might have to do this in two parts. Okay, Daniel 1:21. Here's Cyrus again. Now Daniel continued unto the first year of Cyrus the king. Wow, okay. So Daniel was away for a long time. Now we go to 6:28 of Daniel.
What page is that? 628 of Daniel. 850. Right around there. 852.
And this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. And we're going to find out that Darius is Cambyses, which is his father, which makes sense.
Esther's husband.
Esther's husband. And in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Wow.
Okay. 10:1. Cyrus is mentioned again. So these are the places where Cyrus, if you just do a word search on Cyrus, here's what's going to come up. And in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, and a matter was revealed unto Daniel. Okay. Here you got Cyrus again. Now we go to Ezra 1:1.
Who's Belshazzar? Oh, in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar, the king.
Yeah. And you can't get quite into those things situated. Belshazzar was the person who saw that writing on the wall with the fingers, and he was actually a Chaldean. And we're going to find out Cambyses comes in and overthrows him. And that's where it becomes Persia then. Okay, Ezra 1:1. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh from the mouth of Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah was alive during this period. As you know, remember the Lamentation, they were taken out of Jerusalem, everything else. Isaiah was not alive, and so he must have the book of Isaiah. And that's what Bowen brings up, so he knows about Cyrus. Because it's coming from the mouth of Jeremiah. Yahweh aroused the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout his kingdom, moreover also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kings of the earth had Yahweh. And that's what you're looking at. He was a Hebrew.
Yeah.
No guy said, no. He's the first one. Yahweh called him my Mashiach, my anointed one. And he calls him Yahweh, Elohim of the heavens, given to me, and he himself hath laid charge upon me to build. And where do you know to build him a temple? For the book of Isaiah. Because the book of Isaiah says, I'm calling you Cyrus. So Jeremiah says, here, oh, you made it. You got a message from the boss. You're going to rebuild the temple. And in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Okay, got it. Now we go to 2 Chronicles 36.
Go to what?
Right above, 2 Chronicles 36. Here's the other Cyrus again. 22. Now we've got to remember, our laying out of the books is wrong. Okay? It's not the way that Yahweh wrote them. The Septuagint, the writers of the Septuagint, rearranged the books and gave them Greek names and Latin names. And the end of the Old Covenant is what book?
2 Chronicles.
Yeah, this, 2 Chronicles. What we're going to look at. That's the end of the book. And any Hebrew Tanakh, they're called the Tanakh, the last book is 2 Chronicles. All right, not Malachi. And so there's 24 books, not 36. And so the Septuagint people broke it into 36 books. They put Ezra in front of Nehemiah. You know, they broke up two books and on and on and made 36 books out of 24. Now, all the information is still there.
Second Chronicles what?
36:22. Just look up, straight up. 36:22. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, to accomplish the word of Yahweh, or Elohim, by the mouth of Jeremiah, Yahweh rose the spirit of Cyrus. So you see it goes right through here. So that's the end of the Old Covenant, which is reflecting on Christ, who is Yahweh's, who has called to rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. Yahweh has a son now take the position of Christ, who is a Mashiach, the anointed of Yahweh, and he's also going to rebuild the temple. The temple wasn't destroyed until the 70s, I think A.D., but obviously it's destroyed now, and so on the new earth, he's going to rebuild the temple. So those are the places of Cyrus. So we've got to go backwards now. Now we're going to go back the end of Judah in 35, same book. So 2 Chronicles gives you a good chronology. 35, verse 20. After this, we're going to look at, Josiah was the last great king of Judah. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the house, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against
Carchemish
by Euphrates. That's Assyria, Euphrates at the top. And that's now we got Egypt running past. Okay, if you look at your little charts.
Carchemish. Turkey.
Yeah, but you're going to see the Assyrian kingdom, look at the top, that's where the Euphrates and Tigris rivers are. You're going to see Israel, you're going to see Egypt, you're going to see Susa, which is Persia. So Armenia, and then you see Babylon. So you got Babylon, north of that is Assyria, and then it comes down to Israel, the nation of Israel, and then you go into Egypt. So all this is the part to get an idea of what we're talking about.
So,
Egypt is going up here to fight Assyria. And Josiah goes out and stops and gets killed. I don't want to find out what happened there. He's such a great guy. And Jeremiah's still alive. You're like, I don't know, that's so sad. He's only in his 30s. But here, who wins this between Syria and Egypt? Well, Egypt does. And so we go to 36:3-4. And the king of Egypt deposed him in Jerusalem. So obviously Josiah died and he's grabbing his son. So Egypt won. And condemned the land and 100 talents of silver and the talents of gold. And the king of Egypt made Eliakim his brother king over Judah and Jerusalem and changed his name Jehoiakim. But Necho took Joahaz his brother and carried him to Egypt. Okay. So what we're going to see is three kingdoms are working here. You got Egypt coming up to Assyria and takes out Assyria. And then we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar is going to come into the picture now and take out Egypt. You can see that in 36:6 in a matter of verses. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Wait a minute, Egypt was just in charge and he took the king, made this guy a king, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, bound him in fetters of bronze to carry him to Babylon. So right off the bat, now we're talking about Babylon. Well, this is on the other side of the desert. Okay. Let's see here. And that's the Chaldeans. Now 36:19. And they burned the house of Elohim and threw down the wall of Jerusalem. So this is the end of Judah. And all the palaces there burnt they with fire, and all the precious vessels there he destroyed. And he exiled the remnant left from the sword into Babylon. So we know now Nebuchadnezzar's in charge. It was Necho of Egypt. When they became his and his sons of service until the reign of the kingdom of what?
Persia.
Okay, now we got Egypt, we had Nebuchadnezzar, the Chaldeans, which is really Arabs. And so today, Iraq is Arabs.
Iran
is Persian. You know, like they say, the Persians will have every heir fight to their death for Persia. But they're not going to fight for their death. They'll have Arabs do it. And that, they're just using these puppets. They're not the same family. That's Persia. That's Iran. And so you got Gaza, and we got Lebanon, Arab. We've got Iraq, Arab. We've got Jordan, Arab. We've got Syria, Arab. You know, you got all these Arabs, and Persia just gives them money and says, go kill those people.
And kill yourself.
To the death. And you'll get to go to heaven with
Persians.
They deserve it, though. So that's Persia. But so what we're going to do on this is, when does Persia get involved? And we're going to see here on this shirt, under 3. So we see Jerusalem falls, 134 years since 10 tribes fell. That's a long time.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we're going to look at Babylon and Persia. So it's Babylon first, because now we're just talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Right, not Persia. So this mentions Persia, but Persia is going to be quite a ways away before Persia gets involved. And so we go to we know Daniel is taken to Babylon. Let's go back to Daniel now. Remember, he was a eunuch. All people were eunuch, and even with Hezekiah, when he showed Babylon all his riches. The prophet tells them they're going to haul away your children and make them eunuchs. And who is the person who is training Daniel? Head of the eunuchs. If you're head of the eunuchs, you're all going to be castrated. Okay, Daniel 1:1-2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, so he was taken earlier, before Judah actually fell, Daniel, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Jerusalem and laid siege against it, and the Lord gave into his hand Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and part of the vessels of the house of El, and he brought them into the land of Sinar, into the house of his gods, and the vessels brought he into the treasure house of his gods. Okay, now we go to verse 6. Now there were among them out of the sons of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and the ruler of the eunuchs gave them names. The ruler of the eunuchs, you know. So, but here is Yahweh. This is so fascinating. Actually, Nebuchadnezzar becomes a servant of Yahweh, and Yahweh calls him my servant, Nebuchadnezzar, and he's telling them,
Jeremiah.
Jerusalem is wicked. Go destroy them. And so now Nebuchadnezzar, with the rulers, Daniel, who's a Hebrew, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, these are all Hebrew righteous rulers giving information to go against and destroy Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was wicked. And that's how bad it was. And Jeremiah kept saying, surrender, surrender, you can't go back. And they wouldn't surrender. Okay. And that's when you get the book of Lamentation, the siege. You know, people are starving to death. Women are eating their children. They're eating their placenta. And not sharing it with the family. I mean, we have no idea what starvation is like.
Yeah.
And I have David Stanley, who founded Livingston. And he went through the Congo. And so I could see, the Congo's all trees. So there's no elk. There's nothing to shoot. And they were starving. And he said, I can almost see why they're cannibals. Because the only meat source you can get is people. Mm. You know? And so that's how bad, if you want to know what starvation is like, read Lamentations. But it was all self-inflicted, because he said, surrender, surrender, surrender. So remember, Nebuchadnezzar's my minister. He was a pretty cocky minister. But Jehu, he was also his minister too. And remember him, he went into and wiped out the house of Ahab. Completely. And Yahweh said, kill them all. Mm-hmm. And he did. But he still had, you know, the sins of Jeroboam. And Yahweh said, okay, I'm going to overlook that. And because you did this, 4 generation of kings. So Yahweh works with who he has. Mm-hmm. Really. So Nebuchadnezzar is a servant of Yahweh. And if you look up the word servant, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to see it in quite a few places.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, the godly place is Babylon. And the wicked place is Jerusalem. And we're going to find out then it becomes Persia, becomes a godly place, and Babylon is wicked. Then go right back. Okay. Let's see here. We got that. Okay. So now Jerusalem's gone. Now we're going to see Mordecai. Let's go to Esther 2:5. So now people have been, Esther is in Persia at this particular time. Mordecai is in Persia at this particular time. Daniel is in Babylon at this particular time. So you're looking at, people are scattered. The Jews, the Hebrews are scattered, Ibris. So Mordecai tells a little history on two in Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. The books are not in chronological order. Esther, okay, 2, 5, and 6, but look at this. Does a little history. A certain Jew there was in Shushan, the palace, whose name was Mordecai, son of Gerard, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a man of Benjamin. Oh, I didn't realize him. He's a Benjamite.
Unless they said that...
Who had been exiled from Jerusalem with the exiles who were carried away with Jehoiachin, king of Judah. I think that was by the Egyptian, if I'm not mistaken. That's the first one that Egypt made. Who Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, exiled. Well, I guess that's Nebuchadnezzar. So, Mordecai is now in Persia. Esther is in Persia. Okay. Daniel and the other ones are running the kingdom. Persia is a second thought. Right? Now we go to, Esther 10, verse 1. But we remember, Esther marries Vashti. This is kind of nice, too.
Esther didn't marry Vashti.
No, but Vashti's listed over here. Mm-hmm. If you look on the left column, this is the Lydian line, Herodotus. And this is, you know, this is Cambyses, that name. And you've got equals Vashti the third. And that's, you know, Esther 1:9. He's married to Vashti. You know, we know in the story of Esther, which is Hadassah. She ends up becoming queen. They kill Haman, who's trying to wipe out the Jews. Now, think of this. Now, this is huge. Not only is Jerusalem fallen, they're scattered all over Persia and Babylon. And now Haman's going to wipe, he's going to finish the job, wipe them all out. And it reverses. And so you think, things cannot even get bleaker. Look at that. We've never been in that situation. So we're in a vote right now. This is 2024. Donald Trump, in about 5 days, against a wicked government in the United States. I think he's going to be our savior, that Yahweh has risen up. But here's 10:1. And the end of the story is of Esther. So remember, so they're down south. Babylon's up here. You know, the sons of Nebuchadnezzar are running it till we get to Belshazzar, which we're going to hit him. But 10:1, and the king Ahasuerus, which is Cambyses, laid tribute upon the land, upon the shores of the sea, but all the acts of his authority and his might, and the clear story of the promotion of the Jew, Mordecai, the Jew. Whereas the king promoted him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next to King Ahasuerus. Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, Joseph, Egypt. You're looking at this and this hookup. Fabulous. And then we always got to pray that with our president and leaders in Argentina, Malay. Get a Christian, who an advisor, who's like a prophet, who can speak to him truths. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, which is Cambyses. So I'm just going to say Cambyses. Otherwise you get confused. And became great among the Jews, and people became Jews because Mordecai was a Jew. Didn't see it. Haman didn't see this coming at all.
It was like passing that star in Germany after the war.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like stomping a cockroach, and they just split and divided. Now I got 1,000.
Yeah.
And accepted by the multitude of his brethren, seeking happiness for people and speaking peace to all of his seed. Wow. And this is going on in Israel right now. So that's what's going on And we also, now we're going to go see Cambyses. This is Cambyses. Esther and them are married. Mordecai is. Now we're going to take Babylon. And we go to Daniel, back to Daniel. He's coming in, and Daniel's there.
Drive the river, right?
Yeah. Daniel 6, or 5:30, chapter 5, verse 30. And remember, Belshazzar, you know, was drinking out of the royal cups, you know, slandering Yahweh, and then the finger on the wall wrote a deal. And he was a Chaldean, a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we're going to change hands into Persia now. From Chaldea, Persia's going to take Babylon. So, 30, and that night was slain Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans. And Darius the Mede, which is Cambyses, that's another name, and Cambyses received the kingdom when about 62 years of age. And so that's the father of Cyrus. And so you can see Cyrus is not 62 because he dies pretty young. So this is his father, and who was his mother is Esther. And his uncle is Mordecai. And now I've got Cambyses. And watch this about Daniel. He knows good talent. It was pleased before Cambyses that he should set up over the kingdom 120 satraps. They should be over all the kingdoms, and over these three confidential ministers, of whom Daniel was first, that to them these satraps would render an account, and the king not to suffer loss. Then as Daniel signalized himself above the ministers and the satraps, because a distinguished spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him up over all the kingdoms. So he got Mordecai down south, all the kingdoms. You got Daniel taken right over where he left with Nebuchadnezzar, all the kingdoms.
A handful of people.
Let's see here. Okay, then we go to Persia rules. Now Persia's in charge. That's 426 B.C. So it's about, what's that, about 160 years, well, that's 175, about 185 years since the 10 tribes went captive. Now, Persia rules. Cyrus proclaims the rebuilding of the temple. We know that in Ezra 1:1-4, in 2 Chronicles also. That's 426 B.C., according to Bullinger. But Cyrus dies at 421 B.C., so he's only reigned for 5 years when this happened. And he dies in battle. Cambyses, according to Bullinger, he's still alive.
His son.
And so this is where Nehemiah comes in, so 418. So Cyrus says, let's go rebuild the temple. But he's not rebuilding the temple. He's telling people in Ezra to go. But you've got to have the city walls built first before you can build a temple, because otherwise you're going to be attacked. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Nehemiah is really before Ezra. So you got to build the temple, you got to build the walls, and then we can lock it at night, and now we can work on the temple.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're vulnerable with the temple. And that's why Bologna said it makes sense that Nehemiah has to come first, and so that's the building of the wall. And that is, now this is great because this mentions Esther. In Nehemiah 2:1-8. Ezra, Nehemiah 2:1-8. And remember, Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem. It's burned up. And that's what it also says. If Ezra was rebuilding the temple, then he would have noted that.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he goes into Jerusalem and says it's devastated. It's all burned up. So there's no sign of Ezra. So people got Ezra building the temple before Nehemiah's building the walls. Now you got to build the walls first. And so he comes back, and he is the cupbearer of Cambyses and Esther. Wow. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 12th year of Cambyses the king, that wine was before him. So I took out the wine and gave unto the king. I had never been sad before. And then the king said unto me, wherefore is thy countenance, or that be face, sad too?
What verse are we in?
Chapter 2, verse 2.
Okay. Sorry.
Nehemiah. And seeing that thou art not sick, there is nothing else but sadness of the heart. Then feared I exceedingly, said unto the king, Let the king unto time days abide and live. Wherefore should my countenance or face not be sad, when the city, the power, the place of the scepter of my fathers, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So you can see the desolation. That's why this has to come before Ezra. Then the king said to me, concern, what is it that thou wouldest make request? So I prayed unto the Elohim of the heavens, and then said unto the king, if unto the king it seemeth good, and if thy servant might find favor before thee, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of the sepulchre of the fathers, that I may build it. Why would a non-Hebrew allow such a thing? You know, Persian. Because his wife's a Hebrew. And his chief advisors are Hebrews. So you got Daniel, he's a Hebrew, and you got Mordecai, who's a Hebrew, to say, man, these are good workers.
Yeah. I mean, you can trust them.
I can trust them. They'll stab me in the back, like Haman and Vashti.
Yeah.
And the king said to me, the queen also is sitting beside him, that has to be Esther, or Hadassah. Hadassah is her actual name. Esther is the Persian name. And how long would be thy journey, and when wilt thou return? So it seemed good before the king to send me, and I set him a time. So here he's, the king of Persia is spending resources and money not only to rebuild the wall with all the people who are going to rebuild the wall, and then you're going to see in Ezra, they're going to be building the temple also, which is very costly. Let me see, that's the wall. Now we're going to the... they die, Cambyses dies, Cyrus dies, and now we look at the bottom of the sheet, Darius Hystaspes. And this is the guy, he's going to be called Artaxerxes in Ezra. So we're going to go to Ezra 4:23, we'll be summing up now, 4:23. If you're of Ezra, you know this. The construction of the temple gets stopped. You know, Nehemiah completes it, and they can start building the temple, and it gets stopped for 2 years, I believe, if I remember correctly. 4:23 and 24. And then when they copy the letters of Artaxerxes, so this is the Darius after Cambyses is dead, Cyrus is dead, his son Cyrus is dead, and there's another Darius, Hystaspes, right in front of him, too, so... And a lot of times people might be a king. We saw Cyrus was 4 years as king. He died for 5 years. And had been read before Rehum and Shimshiah, the scribe, and their associates. They journeyed to it in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and forbade them with arms and forces. Then ceased the work of the house of Elohim and was in Jerusalem. Yea, it did cease until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So this is... Darius, who knows nothing about Cyrus. He doesn't know about, you got a Persian Empire and you don't know the temple's being rebuilt. And also, they're saying, somebody said, we're going to stop this and they shut it. That's the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
You know, really just to shut it down and make lies, and it's called slander. And they made up lies until they said, go search the book in chapter 6 of Ezra.
Go on, look it up.
I love these Persians.
Yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar. I was wrong. Okay, this is the real God. And anybody says he's not, I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to make a dunghill out of your place. I'm going to pull down pillows. I'm going to spin it on your throat. There.
Change of plans.
Until I make another God. Another God. And if anybody doesn't bow to this God, and then you get blasted again. That's Nebuchadnezzar. And all of a sudden it comes to the senses. I'm out in the field, rain-soaked, and all of a sudden I see, I blew it, God. And I got a little boisterful. And that's Yahweh resisteth the proud, or humble, but giveth grace unto the lowly. 6:1 Then Darius the king issued an edict, and they made search in the house of the books where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found in Archmediath, and the fortress was in the province of Media, a roll of thus was written in it as a record in the first year of Cyrus the king issued edict after the house of God in Jerusalem. So then he finds, and if you read all this, it's great, because he all finds and says, hallelujah, I love Cyrus. He's like, and you guys are out. And here, give them everything that they need to build this house.
And if you oppose them.
Yeah, and it tells you all this stuff right here. And then if we look at 6 on the end, 400 B.C., Jerusalem is restored, the temple is restored, and now people are sinning again, and Nehemiah has to come in and pull their beard and pull their hairs, and they're marrying foreign women, and he's saying, didn't we learn anything from King Solomon? We lost the whole kingdom because of this, and you idiots are doing that, and that's Nehemiah. So then you have Israel as a kingdom restored. What's that really from about...
For a little while.
Let's just see here. Josiah. So Jerusalem fell. So, well, 77 years. Yeah, so from Jerusalem falling to about 400, Jerusalem was restored again.
Was
7 years later.
Something to do with 70 years. It's like 40 years and 70 years.
No, it's for rest. It was seven Sabbaths. So Yahweh says, you're going to keep the Sabbaths. The land's going to keep the Sabbaths. The Sabbaths.
They didn't keep the Sabbath.
They didn't keep the Sabbath. They didn't let the land go fallow. Every seventh year, no growing. In the sixth year, you got a double crop. And the seventh year, you don't plant.
Yeah.
All right? And they didn't do that. So he said, I'm going to fine you for, 70. That's 10 times you didn't do
this.
You're
going to pay this debt.
Yeah, you're going to pay it. And that's what that land was healed, and they come back. Okay, sorry, went a little long. We're going to have a prophecy for future people. Well, Father, we thank you for these words to Mashiach Yahushua. Thank you, Christ, for redeeming us, and you are our master, and we can be your servants and be your hands and feet and mouth. And so if you would come to Ab Adonai Yahweh. Rejoice in the little things and speak forth my words with great sacredness, because my word is truth, and they are very valuable and crucial to set people free. Do not be disguised. Do not be have words that are disguised in order to deceive people from following my word, but speak my word and lay it out for you to the best of your ability, and I will multiply those seeds sown in order that you may be greatly rewarded, as others may reap of your harvest.
Thank you.
Amen. See you next week.